If you'll take your Bibles, let's look together in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. Today we're talking about what it means to pray without ceasing. What it means to pray without ceasing. And then at the end of our time together in the Word, we'll gather around the Lord's table. And so I hope that you have your communion packet so that we can join together as we receive the Lord's Supper at the end of the message today. Today we're talking about praying without ceasing. I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a man named John. John grew up in Yakima Valley in Washington State, and his family, from as far back as he can remember, his family was involved in the apple business. His parents owned an apple orchard. Everybody in his family worked in some way in apples, and so he just sort of grew up surrounded by apples. And he knew all kinds of things about apples and apple orchards and apple trees. He just knew how to make sure the tree produced the largest number of apples. He knew how to guard over the root system. He knew how to protect the plants from fungus and from insects. He knew all of those things. And then he grew up also just knowing about all the different varieties of apples. If you asked John about apples, he could just list all the different varieties, the Fuji Green and the Golden Delicious and the Red Delicious and the Macintosh and the Wine Sap and the Pink Lady. And you could just go all the way down the list and talk to you about all the different types of apples that were available. And he knew everything about exactly when the apples needed to be harvested and then how to store them until they were ready to ship to market and then how to put them in the right types of containers to ship them. He knew all of those things. I mean, he knew everything. He had studied the cultivation and growth and harvest of apples all of his life. But then something happened when John was somewhere around 30, maybe 35 years old. He was walking through the family orchards, and as he did, he saw hanging from a low branch an apple, and he plucked that apple from the branch, and for the first time in his life, he tasted an apple, and it changed his whole perspective. Now, that's just a made-up story. That's not a true story, and it's sort of a silly story, but it illustrates, I think, so often what we do with prayer, because we know a lot about prayer and we've studied prayer. If you've grown up in the church, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you probably read some things in the Bible about prayer. You may have read a book on prayer. You've heard people teach and preach about prayer. And I don't know of any person, any believer who would say, well, I don't believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. Amen. I mean, we believe in the power of prayer, and we affirm that prayer is important. All of those things are important for us. In fact, they're essential. But you know, you can do all of those things, read and study and know all those things about prayer, and never get around to really praying. And praying is sort of like tasting that apple. I mean, you can know all kinds of things about apples, but until you've tasted the apple, you really don't know what an apple is all about. Until you have really begun to pray, and to pray without ceasing, then you have not yet discovered what prayer is all about. There's a missionary by the name of Wesley Duell who says this: all you need to do to learn to pray is pray. You don't have to have a specialized vocabulary to pray. You don't have to know how to use King James English and these and that. You don't have to know that to pray. You don't have to have a special place where you go to pray. There are people who will travel all the way around the world just to get to a special place because they think they can pray better in that place than any other place. Can I tell you something? There's no place on earth where you can pray better than where you are right now. You don't have to have a special place to pray. You don't have to have expensive equipment to pray. But you do have to pray in order to learn what it is to pray. And the Word of God teaches us to pray without ceasing. We're going to look at these two passages of Scripture that talk about what it means to pray without ceasing. We start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Will you stand with me as we read God's Word together? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm beginning in verse 16 of the text. Notice what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you want to know what God's will is for you, here it is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now take your Bibles and turn a few pages back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul is writing there about what it means to pray without ceasing. He says this, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This is the word of God. Will you join with me as we pray? Lord, I thank you that we can be in this place today and to lift up your name, to praise you, and to hear you speak to us. And Lord, I pray that you would move me out of the way and Lord, speak a word. Lord, show us today what it means to pray without ceasing. And we'll give you glory and honor for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to talk to you about what it means to pray without ceasing. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? First of all, the Word of God shows us this. Praying without ceasing means maintaining a constant attitude of prayer. If you want to pray without ceasing, maintain a constant attitude of prayer. And that's what Paul is talking about there in verse 17 when he says, pray without ceasing. Now, the word pray simply means to talk to God. That's what it means. It means you as a born-again believer, you as someone who has a relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ, coming to God and talking to God. It's just as simple as that. So prayer is talking to God. And the Bible says this, that we are to pray without ceasing. The word without ceasing there means to pray uninterruptedly. In fact, you could even translate it, pray chronically. You know, if you have a chronic cough, that means you just keep on coughing. Or if you have chronic pain in your foot, it means every time you put weight on that foot, you feel the pain. Well, the Bible tells us that we are to pray chronically. Now, usually when we think of the word chronic, we're thinking about something that's negative. But here the Bible is talking about something positive. Pray without ceasing. Pray uninterruptedly. Pray constantly. Pray chronically. Make it a part of the atmosphere of your life to pray. Maintain a constant attitude of prayer. So what does that mean, to pray without ceasing? Does that mean that I walk around all the time with my head bowed and my eyes closed and my hands folded like this? You don't want to walk around that way. You don't want to drive that way. You'll run into all the people who are texting while they're driving if you're driving that way. So it doesn't mean that you're going around with your hands folded, your eyes closed, and your head bowed all the time. It also doesn't mean, when the Bible says pray without ceasing, it also doesn't mean that God is calling us to withdraw from the whole world and live what has been called in Christian history a life devoted to prayer. And we should live lives devoted to prayer, but in Christian history there have been monks who have said, well, I'm going to live my life devoted to prayer. And for them that meant cloistering themselves away somewhere and sort of locking themselves in a room for the rest of their lives and just doing nothing but praying. That may seem holy, but it's not as holy as it seems. It may seem like that's being mystical, but it's actually being mistaken, because God does not call us to withdraw from the whole world and just sort of be off on our own somewhere. No, God wants you to engage the world, but to do it with an attitude a prayer. So what does it mean to pray without ceasing? What does it mean to maintain a constant attitude of prayer? It means to live your life understanding that you're in a constant conversation with your Heavenly Father. Imagine you were taking a cross-country trip with a friend. The two of you get into a car and you're going to be in a car for days on end and for hours on hours each day. And just the two of you in the car, and it's your friend. So what are you going to do in that car? Well, you're going to talk to one another. Now, there will be things that you do other than talk to one another. You may play the radio sometimes. Somebody may read while the other person is driving, or you may stop and go into a store and shop somewhere and go your separate directions for a little while. But if the relationship is good, then the conversation is going to continue back and forth throughout the time you're traveling together. Imagine doing that same thing, being in a car with somebody hours on end for day after day after day, and the whole time you're in the car, you don't talk to one another at all. You and that other person, but you don't say anything unless somebody's got a problem or a complaint or a need. You don't say anything to each other at all on the whole journey. If that happens, it tells me this: something's wrong with that relationship. Well, here's what God calls you to do as you journey through life as a follower of Jesus Christ. He calls you to maintain constant communication with Him. Yes, you'll be doing all kinds of things. You'll be going all kinds of places. There'll be all kinds of things that come into your day as you're living your life. But throughout that day, you are living in an atmosphere of prayer. You are seeking to talk to God and to bring your heart and your life before God moment by moment. If you're only coming to God when there's a need or a problem or a complaint, then there's a problem in your relationship with the Lord, because He calls you to live a life of constant prayer. And so the Bible says, maintain a constant attitude of prayer. Then secondly, the Word of God shows us this: praying without ceasing means pursuing a daily discipline of prayer. God calls you to pursue a daily discipline of prayer. Now take your Bibles and turn back a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter 6 and look in verse 18 of the text, right at the beginning of that verse. Paul writes this: praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The Bible calls us to pursue a daily discipline of prayer. Praying at all times. That means at every occasion. Not just good occasions, not just bad occasions, but at every occasion to pray, and to pray in the Spirit. Now, if you've been saved, that means the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and one of the things that He does in your life as a believer is to help you to pray. You know, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit prays for us when we don't know what to say or how to pray. By the way, have you ever been praying and you just didn't know how to pray? Anybody ever been there? I have. Or have you ever been so hurt or so overwhelmed as you were praying that you couldn't even articulate the words? Well, here's what the Word of God says. You have a prayer partner named the Holy Spirit when you don't know what to say or how to pray. And He prays with you, and He prays on your behalf. And so the Bible says pray in the Spirit. It also means, as we pray in the Spirit, it means praying understanding that the only way I'm even able to come into the Father's presence as I pray is because of what Jesus did on the cross to pay the price for my sin and to open the way for me to come before the Father's throne. And the Holy Spirit Himself is my access that brings me into God's presence as I pray. And so we pray at all times, at every occasion, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. That means with all kinds of prayers and supplications. And the Bible calls you to pursue a daily discipline of prayer. If you don't have a plan to pray, you won't pray. If you don't plan to pray, you won't pray. You will never develop your prayer life by accident. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes we think that. We think, well, you know, if I'm just aware of God's presence in my life, and if I'm just trying to stay in touch with God the Father, I don't really have to stop and pray. Oh, no, you still need to stop and pray. You will never fall into your prayer life by accident. It'd be just like if I came into the kitchen and Michelle had a beautiful chocolate cake there on the kitchen table, and it's all iced and different layers and decorated and everything else. I said, wow, Michelle, that is a beautiful cake. And she said, you know, I baked it by accident. She said, I was making a chicken pot pie, but somewhere along the way, it just turned into this chocolate cake. That's not how it works. You've got to plan for that chocolate cake. You've got to follow the recipe. You've got to do the steps. And the same thing is true in our prayer lives. If we're serious about prayer, then we'll plan to pray and we'll pursue a daily discipline of prayer. That's what Jesus did. We see that He had a disciplined prayer life. And we also see that in the people of God throughout the Word of God. So take your Bibles and turn back to Psalm 55 in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 55. And there David describes in one verse his prayer life. Psalm 55, verse 17 of the text. And here's what David says about his own prayer life. He says this: evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan and he hears my voice. That's the way my Bible translates it. Some other translations put it this way: evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and you will hear my voice. David had a disciplined prayer life. He prayed throughout his day at specific times during the day. He said he prayed in the evening. By the way, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, measure time each day from the evening until the next evening. We usually think about going from morning till evening. They went from evening until the next evening. So at evening, in the evening, he prayed. And then in the morning, he prayed. And then at noon, he prayed. He was constantly coming before God very deliberately in prayer. Now take your Bibles and turn a few pages over to Daniel chapter 6. We all know the story of Daniel in the lion's den, how Daniel, the great prophet, was thrown into that den full of lions. But sometimes we forget what got him into so much trouble to begin with. Why was Daniel thrown into the lion's den? The answer is easy: because he prayed. Because he prayed, and because he wouldn't stop praying. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 6 that some sneaky people tricked the king of the land. His name was Darius, and they tricked him into signing a law that said if anyone prays to anything or anyone other than the king himself in the whole kingdom, that he would be thrown into a den of hungry lions. Listen to what the Bible says Daniel did in verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. The Bible says this: when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees, how many times? Three times a day. Evening, morning, at noon. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Daniel wasn't thrown into the lion's den for a protest. He was thrown into the lion's den because he just kept praying. He had a daily discipline of praying and seeking God three times a day, evening, morning, and at noon. And he kept doing that, and that's what got him thrown into the lion's den. And praise God, God brought him out of the lion's den unharmed and unscathed. But it's just a picture for us. God wants us to pursue a daily discipline of prayer. Can I talk to you just about how you can pray throughout your day? In fact, this comes from the book, 21 Days of Breakthrough Prayer, that we're reading together as a congregation. And in that book, the authors talk about some simple things you can do just to pray throughout your day. Now, this is not law by any means. These are just suggestions that can help us think about praying with a disciplined prayer life throughout our days. First of all, in the morning, when you first wake up, even before you get up and start going, spend some time in adoration and praise before God. And then as you're driving or commuting, give your day to the Lord. Now, I'll tell you something. I live 1.1 miles away from our church. It's the closest I've ever lived to any church I've ever served, other than the times I've lived in a church parsonage on the church property. And praise the Lord, I'm 1.1 miles away. But 1.1 miles away. I tell Michelle, honey, I say, I have to drive around a couple of times just to hear a whole song on the radio. My commute is so short. But there have been times in my life when I've had a long commute. And you try to figure out, because that's a lot of time. You start adding up how much time you spend on a long commute. Can I tell you something you can do to redeem that time? Pray. 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 Give your day to the Lord. Pray for the people you're going to see that day or the challenges that you know you're going to face that day, and pray for those who need God's grace. That's a great time to pray. And then another time to pray, before any meal. And of course, we thank God for our meal as we pray. I hope you do that as a family. And if you're in a restaurant, to pray for the person who's waiting on your table and to let them know that you're praying for them. Ask them how you can pray for them. But before any meal, you can also just take time out to thank God for providing. Not just that meal, but everything he provides. And then pray for specific people, for our nation, for our leaders, for pastors, for people on your prayer list. Pray for those people before you eat your meal. It's just a great time to discipline yourself to pray for different ones. And then another time you can pray: every time you think of or hug your spouse or your children or your grandchildren, take a moment to pray a blessing over them. It doesn't have to be long, and it doesn't have to be out loud. But you can pray a blessing over your family when you think of them, or when you are with them and hugging them. And then for any crisis you face, any crisis, train yourself to pray first. You know, so many times we do everything else first And then we sort of take our leftover attention in the crisis and we pray. The first thing we ought to do is pray. You'll come up with better options for dealing with that crisis if you pray first. And so pray when you're facing a crisis. Make that your first response. And then finally, at night, as you're getting ready for bed, review over your day and think about what's happened, what you've said, what you've done. And ask God to examine your heart and show you those things you need to confess and seek forgiveness of and forsake. And take a time to pray and examine your own heart and confess before God at the end of your day. Pursue a daily discipline of prayer. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. It means maintaining a constant attitude of prayer. It means pursuing a daily discipline of prayer. Then thirdly, take every opportunity to pray. Take every opportunity to pray. Now take your Bibles and turn with me again to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Look with me there at the end of that verse. The Bible says this, Ephesians 6, verse 18. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Here the Bible says that as we pray, we are to pray keeping alert. That means to be wide awake. Jesus used that same word in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, where he told his disciples, stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And so he told them, stay awake. It's the same word that Paul uses here. Keep alert. And it's talking about your prayers. Keep alert as you pray. And pray with all perseverance. That means keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Instead, take every opportunity for prayer. Make that part of your life. You know, someone has said that prayer for a believer ought to be like swimming is for a fish. Fish don't wake up in the morning. A fish doesn't wake up in the morning and say, well, I guess I better put on my swimsuit. I think I'm going to go swimming today. He doesn't go out throughout his day and say, well, you know, I'd really intended to get in some swimming time today, but it's just been so busy. I've had so many other things to do. I just haven't been able to swim yet today. A fish doesn't come to the end of his day and say, you know what? I didn't swim like I'd planned to today, but tomorrow I'm making a resolution. Tomorrow I'm really going to start swimming. That's not how a fish does it. A fish never stops swimming. A fish is constantly living in an atmosphere of swimming. And God wants us to pray that same way, to take every opportunity and pray. To pray with our eyes wide open. To look for people we can pray for. To look for things we can pray about. And then to persevere, to keep on praying even when we feel like we need to do something else. No, just keep on praying. Take every opportunity to pray. Colonel Jim Townsend is a friend of mine. He retired after a career in the Army and then served for many years as a civilian contractor with the Department of Defense. Great, great man. A man of action, a man who was used to taking action, but he learned to take action through prayer. And I saw that in his life. He was the kind of guy, and still is, if I'm with Jim, I know he is going to pray for me before the conversation is over. I've never had a conversation with him, even for 3 minutes, when he didn't stop and pray. And I've been with him at times when he knew I couldn't stop. I was having to rush on to the next thing on a Sunday morning. He'd put his hand on my shoulder as I was walking, and he'd be praying for me as I was walking. Here's what I've learned about Jim. He takes every opportunity to pray, and to pray specifically. So here's what I know. If Jim tells me, if I tell him some need in my life, and he says, I'm going to pray for you, I know he's going to pray for me because I've heard him pray with me so many times. Now, can I ask you a question? First of all, raise just by show of hands, how many of you have ever had somebody ask you to pray for them? Just raise your hands. Okay, most of us, you can put your hands down. Most of us have had somebody ask us to pray for us or pray for them. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on this. How many of us have said, yes, I'll pray for you, and then we forgot to pray for them? Don't raise your hands, but I'll raise my hand. I've done that, and probably you've done that as well. But you know, to stop what you're doing in the moment and to pray for that person, to pray for that situation, to pray for that need, that's really what God is getting at when Jesus tells us to stay wide awake. That's what God is getting at when Paul tells us to pray and keep alert with all perseverance, to take every opportunity pray. So what can we pray for? Well, we can pray for all kinds of things. We can pray for healing for the sick. We can pray for God to give us wisdom. We can pray for greater faith. We can pray for relationships. We can pray for open doors to share the gospel. We can pray for God to open people's hearts to receive the gospel. And in short, we can pray for anything and everything. I love the words of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And I'm reading them to you out of the New Living Translation because I love the way it puts it so beautifully. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Don't worry about anything. So if you have a circle that stands for worry, don't put anything in that circle. Instead, have a circle over here that says prayer. And what do you put in that circle? Everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And as you put everything in that prayer circle, God's peace will guard your heart. I want to encourage you about something. Tonight at 5:30, right in this place, we're going to gather together. And as the church of God, we're just going to pray. I want you to be here. I want you to come. We're going to pray about our nation. We're going to pray about the needs of our community. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for lost people to be saved. We're going to pray for Christians to share the gospel. We're just going to spend some time together tonight praying. And I want you to be here. We'll start at 5:30. We'll be done by 6:30. But it's a time that can make a difference in your life as we take the opportunity to pray. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. That means to live in an atmosphere of prayer. That means to discipline your life to pray in the evening, in the morning, in the noontime. That means to take every opportunity that God puts in front of you to pray. For 13 years, Michelle and I have had a little dog. He's a Yorkshire Terrier. His name is Joey. He is about, at the heaviest, about 6 pounds. He's a little tiny dog. He loves Michelle with every ounce of that 6 pounds. I mean, he loves Michelle with all of his heart. He likes me okay. I'm there, and so he likes me okay. But there's one time in the day when Joey is absolutely devoted to me, and that's in the morning when I eat my banana. I eat a banana every morning, and that dog, I don't understand it. He can be at any place in our house, and he can hear me peel the banana. And he comes running in because he knows, because it's been like this for all of his life, he knows that I always give him the first bite of the banana and I always give him the last bite of the banana. And so I peel the banana, and there he is. I mean, just he sort of materializes as soon as I peel that banana. There he is, and he's shaking, and he's looking at me, and I break off that piece, and I give him the first piece, and he's never tasted the banana yet because he eats it so quickly. But anyway, he eats that banana, and it's gone. And then he watches me as I eat the rest of the banana, and he's barking at me the whole time as I'm eating my banana until I get to that last little piece that I give him. And he's just watching me the whole time. I am his entire focus. And so many times I've been convicted in my own prayer life by watching that dog as he waits on me to give him banana, because I'm the only thing he's paying attention to. I am his singular focus. He knows his only hope of a banana is me. Our only hope of anything is our God. And yet so many times we live our lives as though, even though we would say, yes, we believe in prayer and we know that God answers prayer, we go in 100 different directions. And God wants us to be focused on Him in our relationship with Him, to seek Him in prayer, because He cares, because He listens, because He answers, because He loves you with all the love of His heart. He's told you, and He's welcomed you to pray without ceasing. As we come to the Lord's table today, I want you to think of those words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus for his body to be broken, his blood shed on the cross, so that you can come into the Father's presence through prayer. The Bible says that we can come into the Father's presence. We can come before the throne of God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And so I invite you to join with me as we pray and as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper together. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, how we love you and praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. And Lord, now as we receive the Lord's Supper together, Lord, we thank you for what Jesus did when he died on the cross. Lord Jesus, you said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus, we thank you. Only through you can we come to the Father to receive his gift of eternal life. Only through you can we go to the Father and spend eternity with him in heaven. And Jesus, only through you can we come to the Father and know that he hears and answers as we pray. And so, Lord, thank you for what you have done for us. As we gather around your table together, Lord, just remind us, help us to remember what you have done through your broken body and shed blood. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.